these remedial courses. It'll do more, may I say, for their health than all of these consultations. If young people are given a chance, if the mother and the child from the date of birth and even from conception and during pregnancy is given an adequate diet, and if we teach nutrition, we will be able to do away with a large amount of the disabilities that afflict us in later life. Every boy and girl, which is an expression of God's faith and humanity, is entitled to be free from hunger, and we can do it in this country. And we ask the right to leisure and recreation. Parks right in our cities, not where you have to travel hundreds of miles. Forests right in our communities, not that you have to go to the Rockies or someplace else. But we can do this. And the right to a clean and wholesome environment. These rights belong to the American people. These are not rights for whites or for blacks. They're rights for us, for all of us. And they have to be realized. Whether it's for the blue-collar worker or the white-collar worker, the poor white or the rich white or the black, the rich black or the poor black or whatever else it is. These rights belong to us. Now, we have the formalities of law, the legal protection, but we have not had the social acceptance that is required to make human rights a reality. The new dimensions of civil rights are to be found in the living and working and playing conditions of our people. Let me repeat that. The new dimensions of civil rights are to be found in the living and working and playing conditions of our people, the day-to-day life. But you ask, do we have time enough? How can we expect black Americans, Chicanos, Indians, the women, and other deprived minorities to postpone for one day longer their full and fair participation in American life? The answer is simple. You can neither expect nor ask them to be patient. On the other hand, one of the factors has always amazed me throughout my years of public life has been the degree of faith in the American system that has been retained by the blacks and the other minorities. In many respects, they have kept the democratic faith far more than some of our more affluent and fortunate white Americans who have benefited so fully from the system. So I ask you now to join me, not in childlike optimism, but in a firm resolve to put together in this country the coalition of economic, social, and political forces that can literally move mountains. We've done much, but what we have done is only an indication of what we can do and what we need to do. This is no time for self-pity, no time for recrimination, no time for looking back. In the light of the political developments in this country, everyone in this room has a special obligation to be a leader, to set an example, and to be a cooperator, to remind those who hold high public office or any public office, not for themselves, that office is not for themselves, but solely for the fulfillment of the highest purposes of this nation. That's my message to you today, and I come to you full of faith that it can be done. And I'm not going to listen to people that say that I've lost our way. We may be temporarily confused, but you and I know the direction that we must follow. And because we know it, we have an obligation to remind others. And to lead in these days is a great privilege and a sobering responsibility. Thank you. I've got to go to the Senate.